The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on a Thursday. It's Thursday, March 28th already, and welcome to the program. We have a great show on tap here for you this morning. We have folks from Berkshire AHEC with us today, and that is Joyce Brewer. She's the program manager of the Tobacco Free Partnership Program, and of course, Gina DeSimone Johnson, the executive director of Berkshire AHEC. We're going to be talking about a couple things here today, one of which is very much of interest to some folks out there. It's the Baby Bonanza 2024, and that's happening. It's coming up quick. It's on April 6th. At 11 to 2 p.m. right over at the Stationery Factory in Dalton, very close by to all of our listeners. So we're going to be talking about that and all the good things that are happening there and some of the other programs that Berkshire AHEC runs that you may not be familiar with, but we're going to make sure that you are. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. First, let's go to the weather forecast and the National Weather Service and see what we have in store for us today.
Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, showers. Near steady temperature in the lower 40s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Tonight, cloudy. Rain showers likely with a chance of snow showers in the evening. Breezy, colder with lows in the lower 30s. Northwest wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 70%. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny. Windy with highs in the mid-40s. Northwest wind 20 to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Wow, it's March 28th and we still hear snow in the forecast. And actually, the longer range forecast I heard on my way in on another radio station was telling us next middle of next week we could be in for some larger snow.
Yep.
Hard to believe. It's probably not. You know, it's going to melt. That's what we always say. It's going to melt. all right. Welcome back to the show. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. And joining me here in the studio this morning, Joyce and Gina. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Both from Berkshire AHEC, and let's just set the stage here for a little bit and tell people what Berkshire AHEC is and does. What does AHEC stand for?
Yes.
Maybe, Gina, you can pull the mic a little closer and tell us what that is.
Absolutely. We kind of, we're one of, there's AHECs across the country, okay. And sort of one of our catchphrases is, what the heck is an AHEC? Because it works, and we're kind of a... Some communities' best kept secrets in some cases. So
we're going to dispel that this morning.
Yeah. It stands for Area Health Education Center. We were founded in 1979. We were an independent 501c3, but we came out of a federally sponsored program where they were looking at the aging baby boomer population and the healthcare workforce. And they realized there would not be enough healthcare providers to take care of the larger populations that we were seeing. And so AHECs were founded to increase the healthcare pipeline and support and retain those employees that are already working in healthcare related fields.
Okay.
So that's what the purpose of AHECs are. There are 220 centers across the country. They are all run out of a state program office. Ours is at UMass Chan Medical School. We work with a wonderful woman called Linda Cragen. And we are the Berkshire Regional AHEC. And so we work closely with the community to address emerging needs, look at social determinants of health, and make sure that we are providing continuing education opportunities for healthcare providers to stay current in both their certification and the needs of our rural community.
So you may not run into it every day, but if you're ever need the care of a nurse or healthcare professionals. Some of them certainly have taken advantage of the programs that Berkshire AHEC runs and basically supports the people that are supporting you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Our whole goal is to support the healthcare workforce.
That's great. Well, so, and we're going to get into some of the other specific programs that Berkshire AHEC does in a little bit. And I know we talked about this last year around this time also. And strangely enough, there's a big event coming up, right?
Yes.
And this is kind of cool. So, again, I'll just hold up the flyer for the folks watching on TV. It will not help you for radio folks, but I will read it anyway. Berkshire Baby Bonanza 2024. And that's on Saturday, April 6th, from 11 to 2 p.m. at the Stationery Factory. So, Joyce, tell us about the Baby Bonanza.
Other than I'm excited about it.
I can see that you're excited about it.
Yeah, poor Gina.
I love your excitement, Joyce.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of a background. The Tobacco-Free Community Partnerships, their goal is kind of threefold. It's prevention so that our youth do not start smoking. Mm-hmm. It's smoke-free housing to ensure that people have clean air in their homes. Hmm. And the third is community mobilization and getting the materials and information out about our 1-800-QUIT-NOW line. But also the tobacco-free community partnerships over the last several years in particular have been looking at the intersectionality of why people may not be able to quit. Hmm. And so over the past several years, I've been looking at maternal and infant mortality and maternal mental health and its impact on someone's ability to quit smoking. Hmm. And in parts of Berkshire County, we have a very high rate of women who smoke, as well as women who may smoke during pregnancy. And we know, based on all the studies that have been done, that it's not healthy for the mother, obviously, or the infant.
Yep.
While they're carrying the infant or after they deliver for secondhand smoke purposes. Mm. So in looking at that last year, I decided that I wanted to do a baby shower. So last year's was held in North County. So this year I went to Gina and I said, I want to do this again.
Because so this is like a big community baby shower.
It's a big community baby shower. We have close to 50 vendors and area agencies coming that day. So there's a wide variety of questions you can get answered that day, for all the way from infant CPR to maybe you're having a little bit of a problem making sure that you have food on the table, because we know that 38% of individuals and families in Berkshire County may not have enough food on the table. Mm. So we brought together the vendors in one place, the agencies in one place, and so it's a very fun environment, it's a very stigma-free environment, and it's a chance to get the information that birthing individuals and individuals who are thinking of becoming pregnant can obtain information, as well as general information for their families. Mm.
And let's take it a step back here for a minute, because I know off mic we were talking about how things have changed over the years, attitudes have changed about smoking. And especially while pregnant and having small children at home. And maybe just outline that for us. Is your job easier now that more people recognize that that's a danger and a problem? Or is it still something that the message has to get out and you have to continually drive that into people's heads to say, you know, it's really not a great idea?
I think we've come far, I believe. Yeah. I mean, I think we spoke earlier in the 1800s. Doctors used to prescribe nicotine for morning sickness. We now know that's not such a good idea. And we also spoke about doctors prescribing for asthma and things. So we've come a long way. And I think
so doctors prescribing cigarettes for if you have asthma, that will help you.
Right.
Really unbelievable, right? That would even be possible.
But. It is. So yeah.
The more you know. I just see the rainbow, you know.
That's right.
So, and we've learned a lot. And I think we still have a ways to go so that we can really impact individual and young children's lives and adult lives, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what does the landscape look like right now? And we'll continue to talk about the Baby Bonanza because that's a really cool event. But we're sort of laying the groundwork here, right? You know, what are the current statistics for the number of people that are still smoking at an early age, trying to quit? What does that landscape look like right now?
Well, I think over the past several years, especially with the invention of the vapes, we do see subtle shifts. We see more youth that are vaping and using, you know, tobacco-related products. Cigarette smoking has dropped drastically. I mean, we were very, very high if you look historically at the number of people. You know, it's just commonly accepted that you could smoke. You could smoke at your desk, right?
Pretty much every public area anywhere.
Right. Yeah. So I think we are making really, really good inroads as far as you can't smoke at your desk anymore. You can't smoke in restaurants. You can't. And we are also really, I think, moving ahead as far as helping our youth understand that even vaping is not healthy. Nicotine is addictive. And I think that was a major shift that, especially in tobacco education and awareness, we made the shift to make to help people understand that it's not a habit, it's an addiction, because nicotine is a drug. Courtesy of C. Everett Koop, who said, it's as addictive as heroin. So he made that way back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s.
And very accurate, too, right? And you think about it as probably one of the most addictive substances.
Right, and I think that's the reason why when we were asked to look at the social drivers of health and how they are how they impact someone's ability to quit, I think that we kind of wanted to get the message out that it's very addictive. And also when I started this journey, the first year that I started it was with food insecurity, because we know food insecurity was a big issue, especially during the height of COVID. And people in general that I spoke to would say, well, if they would quit smoking, they would have money for food, right? Yeah. And I'm like, we got to explore that. So,
Smoking is an expensive habit, right? I mean, and it's designed that way now because, you know, you don't want the cost of cigarettes to be so cheap that anyone can continue to smoke. You want it. You want to put a barrier there because of the threat to public health. It's just a real danger.
It is. And what Joyce, I think, is looking at is that, you know, if we're just making it harder to acquire cigarettes without looking at the underlying reason why people start or keep smoking, and we're not providing wraparound supports to help them on a quit journey, then all we're doing is creating another barrier to economic stability for a certain population. You know, so I'm a former smoker myself. The increasing prices was one of the drivers, along with getting pregnant and all those other things that happen. I'm so happy to be on the other side of that quit journey. But it definitely, you know, it's not just a matter of, you know, you should quit smoking. Okay, that sounds reasonable. Like, if only
I've never
it were
heard that before.
I've never, I had no idea it was dangerous. You know? So now I think we all understand the dangers of smoking, and it's really approaching folks in a way that doesn't stigmatize them and doesn't make them feel bad for being addicted to this horrible substance. Like, how can we help you, not how can we shame you?
And, well, so give us some examples then of that kind of help. What's the support that people need to find their way past nicotine addiction?
I always suggest people start with their primary care physician and just have a conversation and let them know that you're contemplating quitting, so that they can spend some time with you and you can work out together what would be a best combination, because we know we have nicotine replacement therapy, we have Chantix, and we have support groups. We have the 1-800-QUIT-NOW line, which people can call. And if a pregnant individual who's still smoking calls, there's a program that extends the amount of time that they will get over the phone counseling, and they will get a $65 gift card to be on their along their journey, so that we can encourage people to quit. I've been smoke free for 38 years, and I originally quit because I got pregnant. And I realized, even back, and we're not going to talk about the age of my son, but when when I did it, it was difficult. You know, so
So you had motivation to quit, and how did you finally accomplish it, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I did. I quit during my pregnancy. It was very difficult. And then after I gave birth to my son, I picked up a couple packs of cigarettes, and I was like, I'm going to do this now that I gave birth. And then all of a sudden, that's when cigarette prices started really jumping, and I was like, well, for this, amount of money, I could do this. But that was my personal. Mm-hmm. Everyone's quit journey is personal.
That makes sense.
You know, and the services that they need. But I think it's always important to start with your primary care physician. Mm. Always.
Yeah. And like you said, there are other newer supports now that didn't exist probably when you gave up smoking. And you said Chantix, and there's Nicorette gum, and there's things like that, right? That all those things didn't exist. So there's ways. There are pathways for you to follow for that.
There are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But and I think just like Joyce is the one that always says, though, if you are housing unstable, you know, and you have that problem to face, and somebody says you should really quit smoking, but that's like your one thing that, you know, like, yes, deep breathing, we know it, but your mentality is that this is the thing that keeps me sane while I'm going through this horribly stressful situation. Mm-hmm. So if we're not supporting folks having, you know, the first level of that hierarchy of needs met, then we can't really expect folks to buy into that whole you should be taking care of this, this, and this type of a thing.
Makes sense. Joyce Brewer and Gina DeSimone Johnson are my guests here this morning on Morning Drive. They are from Berkshire AHEC, and we're talking about a multitude of different things here, but bringing it back to the Berkshire Baby Bonanza 2024, for people just tuning in, that is an event coming up on Saturday, April 6th, though not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Correct.
So perfect time here to start talking about it. Put that in your calendar. Make sure you get there. It's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. We described it as a nice big community baby shower. I like that idea. But you'll have local agencies and vendors on hand at the stationery factory. So talk about some of them, if you will, Joyce, and who's going to be there? What kinds of things can you see and get and talk to people about? This is all and who's this aimed at also? Is it aimed for people about to be families, giving birth, pregnant women? Who are you looking for there?
Well, first of all, it's for anyone. But basically, to break it down a little bit more, it's for those contemplating pregnancy. Those are pregnant. Mm. Those are postpartum. They have toddlers and up to 5 years of age. So it's really virtually for everyone. It's also if you just adopted or if you just started taking care of your grandchild for some reason, and so it's for really anyone who is working with infants and youth or thinking of young kids. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's actually, I keep saying 10 member, but it's actually exploded, a committee from various agencies in Berkshire County, including Child Care of the Berkshires. We have someone from North Adams Public School who's on the committee. We have Berkshire Nursing Families. We just have a plethora of individuals who work with families and work with young children and infants. I know I keep saying young children and infants, but so we have a wide variety. And I think the goal of it, as I think I've previously mentioned, is we just want people to have fun and get information because not all of us learn the same way. Mm-hmm. And certainly in my position that I've been in for 8 years, I have learned not everyone learns the same way.
That's
so
right.
Putting people in a fun environment so they can have warm handoffs to area agencies so that they can talk with someone, you know, in person versus having to read public healthies pamphlets, which is what I call them sometimes, I think is important because it helps us absorb information better in a very relaxed, fun environment. We're going to have raffles. Mm-hmm. We have tons of raffles. We have car seats. We have breast pumps. We have baby bags. We have baby books. We have just tons of stuff that people who attend can answer maybe a brief survey for us so that we know we're on the right track for next year when we do this. Did I say that next year?
Let's get through this year, Joyce.
Right.
No.
And, you know, I remember that there, you know, long time ago when we were just having kids, young kids, and I'm trying to remember back now, but there weren't always some very obvious places that you would go to get that information or to find out about car seats or to, you know, you really had to go out and find it. And I'm thinking of a larger place like an Albany or a Springfield or a Boston or Worcester where, you know, there might be some specific stores or vendors or whatever that take care of those things in the community. And it seemed like it was a little harder here in Berkshire County to pull that information in. So in a way, this event is really a good one-stop shop, it sounds like, for
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. We had folks that left last year, and one of my favorite pieces of feedback was folks that left saying, I didn't know that that was here in the Berkshires. Like, I didn't know that they were doing that here in the Berkshires. And so it was just wonderful like Joy said, to be able to get information to folks that really could benefit from it and weren't otherwise aware of how to access it or who was doing that work in these spaces.
So who are some of the vendors that you have coming?
We have Child Care of the Berkshires.
Okay.
We have Berkshire Nursing Families. We have Berkshire Diaper Project. Actually, the list is about 50 long.
Wow.
Berkshire AHEC will be there. We'll be running around.
We have folks from the health system. But we have some doulas, midwives. For, you know, we want it to be fun. Bring the kids. Like, you don't have to get a babysitter. We've got a craft corner that can keep kids occupied. We're going to have free snacks, you know.
Wow.
We're going to have somebody doing balloon animals. Big raffle. We have It Takes a Village, which is bringing gently used baby items for folks to go through and take as they would like. Barb Malkus is coming to do yoga.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. So many things. And can you cram that all into 11 to 2 p.m.? That seems like a lot.
It'll, you know, a lot of it's going to be happening concurrently. There will be two separate raffle drawings, one about halfway through, one closer to the end. So folks aren't obligated to stay the whole time in order to possibly walk away with one of those free car seats. But the goal is to get as much information and as much necessary equipment into the hands of folks that are going to need it.
And I would think, too, post-COVID, you know, where everyone was sort of stuck inside for a long time and maybe not getting out as much as they used to or probably should, that must have been a very difficult time to have kids and to know, you know, because one of the key things is socializing and being around other people, especially if you're postpartum. You know, you may need the support of other people around you, and that was a very difficult time, I'm sure. It must feel good to be coming out of that and being able to do an event like this.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Six-month-old when we went into lockdown, so I felt that on a very visceral level. And I think that this is just such a great event for, because, you know, the saying is it takes a village to raise these children, but I think in 2024, sometimes it's really hard to identify that village.
Really good point. Well, then one thing we didn't talk about yet, I think, are the gift bags.
Yes.
So you are going to give away a gift bag to the first 250 families that come through the door.
Yes.
So this is going to be a big event. And the Stationery Factory, of course, a great venue for it. Anyone in the who's hearing my voice here in Central Berkshire County right now, that's a great place to be able to come and congregate. You'll certainly pull people from North and South County as well. But talk about the gift bags. How long did it take you to make 250 gift bags?
I'm going to turn this to Gina, because I was at a state meeting that day.
But she called and nodded and just left.
No. And what's in the gift bags? You want to know what's in the gift bags.
Absolutely. The gift bags, actually, we had Berkshire United Way reached out, and they had some wonderful students from Anna Maria College out in the Worcester area that were looking to do some service work on their spring break. And so they came out for the week, and they went to a couple places. We were on the list. And so we had five or six fantastic students from Anna Maria College that came in and packed our gift bags for us.
Wow.
It was the most youthful energy we've had in our office in a very long time. It was a wonderful day.
Wow.
They were very excited about it. But they did a great job. We have, we've got baby wipes. We've got little baggies that have outlet covers and washcloths in them. We have, I'm trying to think of what toothbrushes up the wazoo. We're going to have the cleanest baby teeth in Berkshire County because we had such generous donations of dental supplies.
Wow.
Joyce has a friend who hand crocheted baby hats all year long.
Wow.
So every gift bag has a handmade baby hat.
That's a lot
in
of
it.
Crocheted
baby
hats.
A lot
hats.
Of baby hats.
Yes.
Yeah, I transported those baby hats. That was a lot of baby hats.
I love it, though, because it just really feels like, you know, the community grandma made everybody a baby hat. I love it. It's such a nice touch to the bags.
That's so nice.
But there's also, you know, a full packet of information, including things like baby bingo cards, library resources, safety checklists. We have them in English and Spanish, so we're trying to make materials as accessible as possible and What am I forgetting? I'm sorry. It's your event.
But I didn't pack the bags this year. I think another thing to mention is that Women, Infants, and Children, the WIC program, has information in there, which is very important, especially if you are the 38% or more who feel food insecure. Mm. I think knowing the programs that are out there that address food insecurity, such as the WIC program.
That's really a shocking percentage number.
It is.
38% are responding that they're sometimes food insecure.
Yeah, they worry about putting food on their table. Yeah. And I personally volunteer at the North Adams Mobile Food Bank. And I can tell you that our numbers are pretty high of people that, you know, we distribute the first and third Friday. And the numbers are high.
Hmm.
They're up between 500 and 600 people that are being served through the food bank.
Wow. Is that a growing number or is that a stable number?
It fluctuates a little, but I think it's especially during the incredible increase in the prices of food, when you go to the grocery store and you see something, it's like, oh, my God. But it's high.
Mm.
And to be honest, it can fluctuate. But probably I'm going to say it's been between maybe the high 400s to almost 600 pretty consistently.
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly inflation didn't help, right?
Yeah.
And when you have a significant spike like that and everything goes up, you know, it's not like everyone's income goes up either. So you immediately start shifting priorities around and you start saying, every family does this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And says, okay, what do we really need and what can we do without for a while and until this, you know, settles out? So I'm sure that probably had played a role in the situation I think that people find themselves in.
Absolutely.
and knowing that you know, it's something that needs to get taken care of.
Right. Yeah. And I think that telling certain individuals that if they would stop smoking, I know it's my refrain, I gotta say
okay.
It again, would solve that issue. Mm. There is more to food insecurity than someone's tobacco use.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been reinforcing that, I think, everywhere I go. Yeah. And as Gina mentioned, it's more. It's, do I have enough money to pay my bills? Will I have electricity shut off? Do I have roof over my head? Mm-hmm. There's just so much more to food insecurity than just saying, well, quit smoking and it'll be all better.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Joyce Brewer and Gina DeSimone Johnson from Berkshire AHEC this morning. And we're talking about lots of things, everything all across the board, but mainly the Berkshire Baby Bonanza.
That's every conversation.
That's right.
With me and Joyce.
That's all right. That makes it a fun show. So reminding our listeners and viewers that's happening not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So mark your calendars, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Stationery Factory in Dalton. And as Joyce said, it's for everyone. But certainly if you're thinking about having babies or in the middle of having babies or just had some babies.
Tapestry will be there if you don't want to have babies. Come on down. We got information for everyone.
There you have it. And plenty of room there at the Stationery Factory. It's a great venue for it. So all the different vendors, the gift bags that we talked about. And we'll come back near the end of the show and remind people about this one more time. But it sounds like a great event. Do you need to register in advance? Can you just show up?
Just show up.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah.
To anyone who wants to come and find out more about what's to offer in Berkshire County as far as services and, yeah.
That's great. All right. Well, you know, we're coming up to the top of the hour, and I know we have a lot more to talk about with the programs that Berkshire AHEC runs, and we're going to be talking about those in the second half of the show. We will take that top of the hour break, I think, now, and we'll come back and do that. So, again, we've got Joyce Brewer and Gina DeSimone Johnson from Berkshire AHEC here with us this morning on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, and we will be right back after this short break. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR-FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Music education in the Pittsfield Public Schools fosters creativity and motivation in our students. Let's hear from one of our youngest composers and percussionists.
At first, I wasn't very sure about percussion, but when I started, it was amazing. I always wanted to play an instrument, and now I've accomplished that. Playing percussion motivates me and makes me feel good.
Band together and support music in the Pittsfield Public Schools.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8, and if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on Thursday, March 28th, and waking up to a little bit of a cloudy morning this morning, but not terrible out there. It's about 45 degrees when I came in. We've had worse mornings for sure. We've got Joyce Brewer and Gina DeSimone Johnson here with us talking about Berkshire AHEC and programs that they run. We were just talking about the Berkshire Baby Bonanza 2024, which is going to be next Saturday, April 6th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we might hit that again before the end of the show. We're going to talk about some of the other big programs that Berkshire AHEC runs in just a moment. First, let's go to our weather forecast from the National Weather Service and find out what's in store for us for the next 36 hours anyway. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, showers. Near steady temperature in the lower 40s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Tonight, cloudy. Rain showers likely with a chance of snow showers in the evening. Breezy, colder with lows in the lower 30s. Northwest wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 70%. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny. Windy with highs in the mid-40s. Northwest wind 20 to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
You know, we had kind of a mild winter, and now we're paying for it in March. We're making it up on the back end with the not-so-spring-like weather if you hear snow in the forecast in late March. But there we have it, weather forecast for today and tomorrow, and the longer range. I was hearing a storm on next Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll see how that all plays out. We'll see. All right, Joyce and Gina, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. let's talk about a couple things that you do and have coming up. And you're going to educate me on this as well.
So I'll do my best.
The Massachusetts, yes, please do. The Massachusetts Rural Workforce Training Network. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it is actually, it's a program we are in partnership with two other AHECs, Cape Cod, Cape and Islands AHEC is technically the name, and the Bay State Franklin AHEC. Hmm. We are all kind of the representatives of the rural regions of Massachusetts, and so there was this opportunity to for training funding for community health workers, educating and bringing more community health workers into our communities, especially in rural areas. And so we thought if we harnessed our collective powers that we would have more impact on the state of Massachusetts. Mm. And so it's evolved a little bit. Now the New England Rural Health Association is involved helping in an administrative capacity. Each AHEC is charged with kind of being the glue for their region. Mm. And then we've pulled in community partners. We have training partners, Cape Cod Community College and Berkshire Community College are our primary training partners. We have outreach partners for our region, volunteers in medicine, VIM. Mm-hmm. We were so happy they said yes to being on this project with us. And we all have, and each region has brought in also a clinical partner, a provider partner. And so CHP agreed to be our provider partner. And the idea is to provide supports, training, and resources so that we can attract more folks to community health work, either folks who are already doing it but they don't have the training in the title, or folks that are working in other industries but are maybe their family's navigator and don't understand that they could take that skill set, move into the healthcare field, mm-hmm. and use this as kind of an entryway into maybe growing into a healthcare profession if that's of interest to them.
So describe for us, if you would, then what a community healthcare provider is and how it's different from maybe your primary care physician or urgent care or something.
Absolutely.
How do you describe it?
So a community health worker does not necessarily have any medical provider certification. Okay. A community health worker's main purpose is to be a navigator. Hmm. And so they are somebody who is most likely bilingual or has lived experience in a certain community, mm-hmm. that understands and can serve as a trusted messenger and connects folks to resources that they either struggle to navigate or don't know how to access or have a fear or reservation in accessing for various reasons. Hmm. That's why we're so excited to have VIM, because they really, fill a navigator role. You know, they have so many CHWs on staff. They did long before this term became a popular buzzword in the healthcare industry. And they're really doing that work to connect folks to services regardless of their status.
So these are folks that are identifying other folks that may need that level of service or help but aren't getting it. Or don't know how to find it.
Or just, if you're an immigrant, the American healthcare system is a maze. It's hard for those of us that have been immersed in it to navigate it. So, just being that warm, supportive, helping hand that says, we can do this. Mm-hmm. Here we go. We're going to get you in. We're going to, we're going to find a provider. We're going to help you get mental health services. Mm-hmm. We're going to help you get the support and the care that you need. Don't be afraid. We'll hold your hand.
Right.
That's basically how I see it. So it's somebody who isn't necessarily a nurse, mm-hmm. although they could be. Uh-huh. It doesn't have to be a medical provider.
And so this is training for those folks who are providing those services, right? And
yes.
It's interesting that the word rural is in there, right? Because we had this conversation also off mic, which was, it's an interesting area that we live in the Berkshires. We think of ourselves as an urban center of Pittsfield, but it isn't really, the same. You don't think of Pittsfield the same way that you think of a Boston or a Worcester. It's a different kind of city, and surrounding the city is a very rural area in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
And so is that where you're pulling some of those resources in and teaming up with some of the other AHECs to get those similarities of the areas together and help each other?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We all have trends that are overlapping. We all also, you know, every region's different,
right,
which is
sure.
why we kind of have these regional networks. Mm-hmm. But working together, you know, funding and resources are not, they don't trickle out to rural areas as frequently mm-hmm. as they do more concentrated, populated areas.
Okay.
And so by banding together, and establishing this network, especially, you know, starting looking at working with community health workers and training community health workers, but having this network established, you know, we can expand to other workforce needs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of harnessing that collective.
Yeah.
You know, the great thing about somebody that enters this program is that if Cape Cod Community College is offering something that Berkshire Community College isn't, if you're in this program, you have access to that training, you know, and it's just making sure that we're complementing, we're supporting each other, and we're trying to, harness that same level of resource power.
How are the training resources for healthcare workers generally in this area? Do we have a good amount of support for those folks? Because obviously healthcare, I was just speaking with the folks from One Berkshire last week, and we were talking about the Berkshire Blueprint 2.0 and how they said that, healthcare and health and wellness are one of the major economic drivers for the region. So it's obviously very important for us. It's important for people to be healthy and to have those resources anyway. But, for training those individuals, for having that support, how is this region doing?
I think there are a lot of excellent trainings available. I think the issue that this grant is looking at specifically is that if you are currently working to support your family, if you have, you know, language access barriers, if you have these other barriers, mm-hmm. you know, whether or not the program exists doesn't matter. You can't access it. You can't take the time away from your current work because then you can't pay your bills, or you know, you don't know if the training's going to be provided in a way where you have you understand all of it and are going to be successful in the training. And so the major focus of this program is looking at those resources and supports necessary for folks that maybe have not felt comfortable taking that leap, mm-hmm. have thought about it, have thought that I'd like to take care of people, or that, you know, there's stability in this industry. Mm-hmm. There's always jobs available in this industry. But how do you get into it when you're working every day and you're stuck kind of in that loop almost, mm-hmm. that life loop? So what we're really trying to do is provide those access resources mm-hmm. for folks to be able to make a transition or consider going into this work.
Right. If folks are sort of identifying with that, if they're hearing this today and it's something that they want to take advantage of, how do they get involved with this?
Well, they can first, if the only thing they remember is that it was Berkshire AHEC, reach out to us and our staff will connect you to that. We have a dedicated student engagement and outreach specialist, our Elise Barbosa, who just started. She's representing all three regions, and we would connect folks who are interested with her for an initial conversation to explore what the program is and where they could see themselves fitting in it. And then she's there as a community health worker mm-hmm. to help folks navigate the systems.
Great. It all comes around.
It does.
Right? Yeah. And so, Gina, you mentioned language barrier, I think, somewhere in there in the last section. And that is a nice transition, I think, to the next item we're going to talk about, right?
Yes.
And that is certainly an issue, and there are more and more, we hear it all the time, folks where, you know, English not your first language, you're coming here, you're, looking to get into maybe a field such as medical interpreter, something like that. There's training that Berkshire AHEC offers, right, for that.
Yep.
So tell us, first of all, what a medical interpreter is and does and why it's important and maybe as a growing concern. And then let's talk about the training.
Absolutely. So medical interpreting is if you are if English is not, well, for example, if mm-hmm. English is not your native language yep. and you go to Berkshire Medical Center, almost every provider there speaks English.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not getting the information that they need to tell you in a language that is accessible to you, then you are missing critical information that is important to your ability to take care of your health.
And it's hard when you get in a situation like that anyway, right?
Absolutely. It's terrifying.
If you're in a hospital or an ER or something and you have people sort of giving you, you know, the stream of different diagnoses or prescription or whatever, and you're trying to process it all in your native language. Now just imagine not being able to understand every word and also trying to figure out what it is they're trying to tell you, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So our medical interpreter training is, we offer twice a year. There's a 60-hour course that helps folks who are bilingual be more comfortable with a healthcare environment, with the resources they'll need to navigate with anatomy and physiology terms, with medication terms, so that when you get into that clinical setting, you have a very solid foundation with which to interpret from, so you can support the patient as best as possible.
And do you feel like there's a growing need for more medical interpreters, especially in this area?
I think that I don't know that I could speak to a growing need, but I could speak to a growing acknowledgement of needing certified professionals to be in this role and not just throwing a bilingual nurse in a room and expecting them to have the skill set necessary to do this in a way that supports the patient fully and makes the person doing the interpreting I don't feel supported, I guess.
What are some of the big challenges for the folks doing this on the front lines all the time?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're taking in a lot of other people's healthcare news, and there's probably some level of, I mean, I can imagine that there's a toll on the individual that's doing the interpreting if you don't understand where the ethic boundaries are, our instructor does a whole unit on self-care because it's so important to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You have to understand all of these things that you're explaining to folks. So you're doing research on some really heavy topics before you go into some of these interpretation sessions. So,
and you don't previously have to be a medical professional to know this, right? But you do need some training to sort of get yourself into the flow of that. You can only just translate the words so much without knowing, you know, what it means.
Also
to be somewhat sympathetic to someone you're explaining, you know, a diagnosis or something like that to either a patient or a family.
Right.
I would imagine some of that is going on.
Right. There's cultural differences too. Mm-hmm. So being able to navigate the standards of someone else's culture, which are completely different to those of us in the United States. All of that factors in, and that's all covered in that 60-hour course.
Wow. And how often is that offered?
We do a session in the fall and a session every spring. So there's one that starts in September and one that starts in January every year.
Okay.
We've been partnering with BCC on that as well. So they've been using some of their workforce grant funding to subsidize the tuition for folks who live and work in the Berkshires. And it's been a beautiful partnership, and been able to train a lot of interpreters with no out-of-pocket cost to these individuals, thanks to that partnership.
Wow. And so important to have resources like Berkshire Community College, involved, I would imagine. And also just a general knowledge now that healthcare is, important economically. It's important to the health and wellness of residents, but also to know that there's a growing need for healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have the professionals, they need to be trained and they need continual training,
which is why we have a 30-hour course coming up here shortly that is specifically for medical interpreters who have already got their certification or already working as medical interpreters, but it's 30 hours specifically on how to work in behavioral health environments.
Okay.
The medical interpreter training doesn't necessarily cover the terms and the things specific to working with, a psychologist or a social worker or other folks that are really kind of serving the population in a different way.
Yeah, so behavioral health, again, very important, and that topic has come up many times in sort of local popular thought recently, how there is a deficit of people that can do this work and do it effectively, but we've seen how much of a need there is for it.
Absolutely.
Joyce Brewer, Gina DeSimone Johnson are our guests here this morning from Berkshire AHEC, and we're talking about all of the programs that you never knew Berkshire AHEC runs, but they do, and they are so critically important to the healthcare needs of this area. And let's move on to something that I also don't know a lot about. So you're going to educate me once again. Nursing preceptor training.
Yes.
So first of all, we need to know what a preceptor is.
I don't know the formal definition, but a preceptor is somebody who, is supporting the learning of an individual in a less formal capacity than a teacher, per se. And so for this particular project, it was identified that there's a nursing shortage. Well, how do we get more nurses into the workforce? They have to learn to be nurses first. Mm-hmm. Well, to become a nurse, you have to do clinical placements. And when you're in clinical, you are assigned a mentor, whose technical term is a preceptor.
Okay.
Folks are being put in this role without maybe having the skill set necessary to do it constructively and effectively. Not everybody's natural at giving feedback in a constructive way. Not
right.
Everybody's a natural at showing instead of doing something themselves. Mm-hmm. I know I have a huge problem with that.
I think it's learned behavior, right?
Exactly.
Something where, because you are trained to do what you do and you've been focused on that for your entire career and you're just trying to get it right and trying to learn everything that you can. And then someone says, well, you need to help this person. And so helping is what you're talking about here.
Exactly.
Mentoring, bringing them over and
showing them the ropes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this project started UMass Chan Medical School, got some funding, and they started a train the trainers, basically, for nurse preceptors. Mm-hmm. And we were one of the sites that they picked as the first year to pilot it with them.
Great.
And so we recruited some nurses from Berkshire County to go to this training last year. And they found such value in it that they told all their friends about it. And so when we were asking for seats to go this year, we had so many more interested than we could possibly send to this training, and they decided to shift the focus and make it a regional training. So this year, our colleague Sheila Dargy is working with the nurses at Fairview Hospital and their education department, and they are planning a two-day conference down in Great Barrington at Chrissy Farm. It's going to take place June 6th and June 7th. And it is specifically for training nursing preceptors in all of these topics that will be useful to them to fill this role. I guess they have a new cohort of student nurses coming in July, so they wanted to do it in June before they came in so that we looked at our numbers and we can take, I think, 45 to 50 nurses into this training at no cost. They actually will get a stipend for being a preceptor and coming to this training from taking it. And so right now it's a save the date. They're still finalizing things, but it will be called Berkshire Empowerment, Essential Skills for Precepting, Increasing Your ESP, which is cute and clever. and so, yes, we have a substantial grant to help support this up this year. And then the idea is to turn it over to Fairview to sustain it afterwards, and they can keep it as their own.
So if people are interested in participating in that particular training, that's in early June, 6th and 7th, but the registration isn't open yet. When that opens, who will people talk to
Absolutely. Sheila Dargy on our staff is the point person for that. Registration will be online, or you can call our office. And as soon as that's ready to rip, I'm sure you will see it all over our social media pages.
And I would imagine if you're in this industry, you're used to finding those places. But in case someone hears it, what's the website for Berkshire AHEC and what's the phone number?
Absolutely. Our phone number is 413-842-5160. And our website is berkshireahec.com. org, which is AHEC, for those of you that don't know how to spell that sound.
Always important to do that on the radio. We're speaking with Joyce Brewer and Gina DeSimone Johnson here this morning from Berkshire AHEC. Joyce is the program manager for the Tobacco Free Partnership Program, and Gina is the executive director of Berkshire AHEC. So we're getting to the point where we're almost at the end of the show, and we want to swing back around just in case people weren't listening at the beginning of the show to talk about the big event that's coming up, not this Saturday, but next Saturday at the Stationery Factory. It's the Berkshire Baby Bonanza 2024. Yeah. I want to make sure I got it right.
We love some alliteration.
That's great. I know, right? It's a lot of bees. Joyce, so one more time around on that, if you would. Tell us all about this event and why people should go and what kinds of things they're going to find there when they go to the Stationery Factory next Saturday.
Other than I'm so excited about it.
Of course you are.
I just can't hold it. Berkshire Baby Bonanza is a community-wide baby shower. There'll be plenty of vendors there, approximately 50 at this point, representing area agencies such as Child Care of the Berkshires, It Takes a Village, Elizabeth Freeman Center, and just too many to mention. A Tapestry.
If people want to get a full list, is that available on the website somewhere?
Oh, that is a great question. We could get a full list up. It'd probably be on our social media pages, not our website. But we'll be putting out more and more information over the next few weeks on our social media pages. So find us on Facebook and Instagram. Isn't that what the kids say?
That's what they say.
My 7-year-old, like and subscribe.
We'll have to do that here on the radio. If you like what we said here, make sure you subscribe to our page.
That's right. As you said, it's 11 to 2. It is a free event. If you're contemplating pregnancy, are pregnant, have just delivered, have young children. If you're a grandparent who is taking care of young children and infants, we will have, as a side, we will have somebody from Berkshire Health Systems doing CPR for infants, which I think is amazing. We'll have plenty of raffles. We have car seats and breast pumps and books and baby baskets, and It Takes a Village will be there with a lot of stuff that's free for the taking. Mm-hmm. Berkshire Diaper Project will be there. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time to just wander from vendor to vendor. And if you have questions, you can just ask them there and you can make the connection. And it's a real fun environment to learn and enjoy and just, you know, spend the day with area agencies who just want to, who are just there to help.
I have this picture in my mind of like a home show, but for babies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We're going to have a photographer there. So if you would like to get a quick maternity photo or a little family portrait or something, she's taken pictures and you'll be able to get a single print for free from her
because
she's been wonderful to work with.
Yeah. We have Snack Corner. We have Arts and Crafts Corner. We will have, as I said previously, a wide variety of raffles that you can choose to enter.
Gift bags. Hopefully everybody that makes it through the door. We made 250 of them. If we get more families than that, hooray!
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, only the first 250 will get gift bags.
That's a lot of gift bags, though.
It is. They're nice gift bags. Like we said, there's wipes, there's hand-crocheted baby hats, there's packets of information about home safety and WIC and anything you need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And toothbrushes.
And lots of toothbrushes.
Clean baby teeth.
Yes.
How many years have you been doing the Baby Bonanza?
This is our second year.
Second year.
Yeah. Wow. And at this point, we're looking to partner with other agencies who would be willing to take the lead on it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm tired of it. I could probably do it forever. But yeah.
Well, it's certainly a great event. It must be big to pull together. But like you said, Gina, if you get 250 families, that's going to be a heck of a day in Dalton next week.
Absolutely. Yes. We're so excited to see everybody.
And just as a reminder, it is on the bus line on Saturday.
Right?
So we're hoping that we can get as many people there.
Excellent. So again, it's the Berkshire Baby Bonanza 2024. It's happening next Saturday at the Stationery Factory in Dalton from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yep.
And it's a free event.
It's a free event.
Can't beat that.
And last year, I just watched so many people walk out with armfuls of stuff that were, you know, it is expensive to have a baby. And you use the stuff for such a short period of time. The more we can help folks reduce those initial expenses, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, it's good to get out and see other people and talk with people about it and not feel quite so isolated.
Absolutely.
In the whole process,
it's a wonderful day of community.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Joyce and Gina, I want to say thank you both for being here today. Any last things for people if they want to get a hold of you or talk about anything that we've heard here today on any of the nurse training or the work for the medical interpreters or the preceptor training, all those great things.
Yeah.
Great things. How do they get a hold of you?
Give us a call at our office, 413-842-5160. Visit our website, berkshireahic.org. And for the most frequently updated information, follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
And you know how to find that.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's it. Thanks so much for being here today, and good luck with the event.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks
Absolutely.
For having us.
Yep. And folks, we will be back again tomorrow with another Morning Drive episode. We have a very good show on housing tomorrow, so
nice.
Stick around for that, and we will return. So have a great day. Stay out of the raindrops, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.